I'd like to say good morning, everyone, and I'm glad that you are able to come out and be with us this beautiful Sunday morning, worship God in spirit and in truth. To all of our visitors, you are most welcome guests, and we're glad to have you here. And as was stated earlier, Brother Allen is out of town, and so the men here have been stepping in for Brother Allen while he's out of town. I'm Brother Reeves, for those who don't know who I am, and I'll be substituting this morning for Brother Allen. And we just want to welcome everyone. It's good to see Brother Rob back with us also, too, because he's been on a journey also. And we're just glad to have him back and hope that everything went okay with him. This morning, as we want to say something from God's Word, we'll be talking this morning about some things that we've all heard about at some point. And we just want to talk about a man by the name of Caleb. And most of us are familiar with that Caleb, the story of Caleb. And we just want to... Am I doing it right here? Okay, there we go. Okay. We just want to talk a little bit about Caleb and what kind of spirit that this man had. And, you know, there was a song that one of the song leaders led on, I think, last week sometime on page 347. And it was called Who Will Follow Jesus? And that song really reminded me of Caleb a lot. And so this morning, I don't know, I'm not going to get to it right now, but maybe a little later on. But I just wanted to say that that song really reminded me a whole lot of what Caleb was about. But this morning, our scripture text and the name of our lesson will be Following the Lord Fully. And that's what this is all about following the Lord fully. Our scripture text will be taken from over in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. And it reads as follows. Then the children of Judah came into Joshua at Gilgad, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kishonite, said unto him, Thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. In other words, fully he followed what God had told him to do. Verse 9 says, And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet has trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou has wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke these words unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day of Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof, the Lord spake in that day, for thou heard in that day how the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were greatly great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, of an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kishonite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And that lets us know that we, too, are to follow what God would have us to do. And that's why I titled this lesson, Following the Lord Fully. And, you know, in the Bible, there are a lot of people who followed God's word and what he wanted them to do. And as we start with a man called Abraham. Abraham was called a friend of God. And that's what James chapter 2, verses 23 is talking about. The faith of Abraham, because that is how God referred to him. And also in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7, also in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, a friend forever. Perhaps that gives greater weight of what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. And Jesus was referring to his the disciples as his friends also. And, you know, God sought a man after his heart, his own heart, to replace Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 14, and God found such a man in David. That was someone else that fully followed the Lord. And that's what the writer in Acts chapter 13, verse 22 is talking about. David knew what it meant to love God with all of your heart. Then there's a press events of the endurance of Job. Okay, in James chapter 5, verse 11. Perseverance, rather, of the endurance of Job in James chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the story of a man who lost everything. God shows his compassion and mercy to him. And then there's also the meekness and humbleness of Moses in Numbers chapter 12, and the verse is 3. He was a meek man above all men on the earth. Now, each one of these stories here tells the type of character that God desires in his servants. You know, we could talk about Rahab, we could talk about Gideon, we could talk about Samson or Samuel or some of those other Old Testament characters right there, but these are the type of characters that God talks about in these people here. But now, for this morning, we want to talk about a man named Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. You know, he had the type of spirit that is described in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love, a sound mind. That's the kind of spirit that Caleb had, and also the kind of spirit that Joshua also had, too. You know, in the Bible, there was some wondering, and it was wondering, they were wandering in the desert for about 40 years. And 12 spies were sent out into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And, you know, this was considered a grave sin by God, corresponding, you know, with what God had told them to do. And it was a bad report. And for 40 days, they spied out the land. And the spies came back to Canaan. And God decreed that Israel would wander in the wilderness for 40 years as a result of unwillingness to take the land. In Numbers 14, and the verse, I think, is 33 right there. So let me go back one page. I think I'm a page ahead right here. Yes, let me get back on this page. Okay. Bear with me. I'm trying to catch up here. So, okay. 10 came back, certain that Israel could not conquer the land. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 29, it was Caleb with Joshua at his side who disagreed in Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 and 33. Okay. But the 10 prevailed in Numbers chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. Joshua and Caleb tried to get the people to relent in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. They had a different spirit that the rest of Israel had. That's Joshua and Caleb. They took an unpopular stand because it was the right stand. Even when threatened with stones, they did not back down. And that's what we have to do a lot of time. Whenever something is happening with us, we can't back down. We have to stay with what God has told us to do in his word. So we want to remember. We want to stay with what God has told us to do and we want to continue to do what God wants us to do. Also, all the adults of Israel were forbidden to enter Canaan except for two in Numbers chapter 14, verses 20 through 24. And God recognized Caleb and Joshua as men with different spirits, one who followed God fully. Everyone else would die in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 14, verses 28 through 35. The Bible says that your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. You know, at the beginning of Numbers, there was something like 603,500 men, 20 years old and up, not including the Levites. And over the next 40 years, all but two died. That averages out to a lot of deaths each day and funerals each day. Can you imagine, you know, being out there and every time you look up, someone was passing on behind, you know, age or whatever was happening at that time. Caleb and Joshua watched just about everyone they knew die. All the people that they knew, they died. And there again, wandering in the desert and in the wilderness. This was considered a grave sin by God, corresponding to the 40 days that the 12 spies went through the land of Canaan. God decreed that the Israelites would wander in the wilderness for 40 years as a result of their unwillingness to take the land. Numbers 14, verses 35. Right here. Moses also reminded the next generation just before entering Canaan in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. God had punished that generation before them because of the things that they were grumbling about. People were unhappy. They were murmuring. They had arrogance, worshiping of other gods. And these things right here made a difference in God's eyesight. You know, and we don't want to do things like that in our lifetime as far as when God tells us to do something. Caleb was there for the conquering of Canaan. By this time, he was about 85 years old, Joshua 14, verses 6 through 8. He reminded them that Moses gave him the right to his own inheritance, Joshua 14, 9 through 10. He is still able to wage war. He chose the area where the Anakims live, Joshua 14, verses 11 through 12. They were giants. And that's what they said at first. You know, because of these giants that are in the land, we cannot go in and take that land. The one of the 10 spies said were too big and too strong to conquer. And in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it's something that I want to read here, too, that God wanted them to do. So I'm going to turn my Bible over to Deuteronomy chapter 9, and I want to read verses 1 through Deuteronomy chapter 9. Yeah, 1 through, actually I'm going to read about verse 5 right here, too. Verse 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, and go on to possess the nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to the heavens, the people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the people thy God, he which goeth over before thee, has a consuming fire and shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shall thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Speak not thou in thy heart after the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee. Say, for my righteousness, for my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord does drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the righteousness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess this land. But the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God does drive them out far before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, these were very wicked people, and he didn't want them to say that because of their righteousness, it was because of the wickedness that the people had, is the reason why that he was drove them out. This is the same lineage that Goliath came from. And Caleb specified those to fight, the ones everyone else thought was too powerful to win his inheritance at the ripe age of 85. And he defeated them. Joshua 14, verses 13 through 15, and then again 15, 13 through 19. And Caleb's nephew became the first judge of Israel. And it's interesting that the judge in Judges 1, there is a long list of how each of the tribes were unable to completely take over their inheritance, except for Caleb. Caleb had a relationship that the Lord admired, and he was able to do this because God was with him, and he knew that Caleb had that spirit of doing his will. Can God use us? That's a question right there that all of us should be able to answer, or want to be able to answer. Joshua and Caleb was out at the front line. They did what they could, knowing God was with them. Numbers 32:12, Deuteronomy 1:36. Caleb gave God everything he had. Christians should give everything they have for the cause of Christ. Whenever the Lord asks us to do something, we should do that without murmuring, about this, without disputing, but just go on and do what God has us to do. And you know, like Paul, you know, Paul was a character in the New Testament, and he finished his course. Will the Lord say, well done, and good and faithful servant to us? You know, this is something right here that we want to be sure of whenever we pass on also. He acted even though he did not know he would win. Joshua 14 and the verses 12. It was his faith when he said, give me this mountain. I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He had his faith and trust in what God had told him to do. From the accounts of the life of Caleb, we see a faithful man who trusted God to fulfill his promise when others allowed their fears to override their small faith. Even into his later years, Caleb remained steadfast in his faith. God bless Caleb for his faithfulness and his patience. He is an encourager to all of us that believe God. Like Caleb, we should be prepared to follow God in every circumstances, patiently waiting for him to fulfill his promise and ready to take action when the time is right. And we'll know when the time is right because when we have God's word to do what we need to have done, then we will know that it's time to do what he would want us to do. But the question is, do they know and understand who's fighting the battle? You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and the verses 15, when Moab was invading Judah, it was Jehoshaphat that prayed for deliverance. And in 2 Chronicles 20:15, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of great multitudes, for the battle is not yours. The battle is God's." They forgot who it was who was fighting their battle. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Be strong and courageous, for there is more of us than them, or him. With us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." So that's who they will put their faith and trust in. You know, as the enemy bore down on Judah, God spoke through this Jehoshaphat. "Do not be afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We may not fight an enemy or army, but every day we battle something in our lives. There's temptation of things that we do, attempted to do. There's pressure coming from a lot of different people in areas of our lives, and there are rulers. I think we talked a little bit about, you know, people, someone that is in control of certain things. But we shouldn't worry about those things right there, because God is taking care of all of those things, are things of the unseen world. We don't never know what's going on out there. And who would want to rebel against God, knowing that we can't win? Remember, as believers, we have God's Spirit in us. And as Christians, we want to remember that. If we ask for God's help when we face struggles, and all of us do face struggles every day of our life, God will fight for us. And God always is triumph whenever we have those triumphs and things that come our way. How do we let God fight for us? Well, first of all, we realize that the battle is not ours. A lot of times we have this understanding here that I can do it better than what God can. You know, it's really bad. A lot of times we pray to the Lord, so, "Lord, please help me with this, or please help me with that." And what we do is we'll pray to the Lord to ask him to help us in some way, and then we'll take it back. We start doing it our way, and that's where we get off track a lot of times. As I said, we realize that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Number two, we recognize human limitations and allow God's strength to work through our fears and weaknesses. God is much stronger than we are. And that's what we want to do, is let the Lord take control. We pray to the Lord, and we ask him to help us in whatever way that we stand in need of. Make sure, number three, we are pursuing God's interests. There are some things that we do and say that is really not in the interest of God, but it's in our interest. And so we will go outside of our zone, and we'll ask God to do some things that we know that we shouldn't do. I ask him for about. And not just our own selfish desires, because like men have a lot of selfish desires and wants and wanting things that they really don't need. And we just take control and then get angry when God is not with us. And we want to make sure that we ask God for our daily battles in prayer. We want to make sure we ask God to help us, Father, in our daily battles, and that's through prayer. A Christian has an avenue to pray to the Almighty, and we want to make sure that we take advantage of that avenue. And this is why we need to pray to God to help us, because a lot of times we make the wrong decisions about things that are very, very important in our life. But Caleb knew what God had said. Caleb was out front, on the front line, and he did what he could, knowing God would be with them if they would have faith and trust in him. He gave God everything he had. We don't have anything to do, but all we can do is just pray and ask God to help us in whatever way that we stand in need of. And as we said before, make sure that it's in God's interest also too. Are we giving all? This man gave all that he had, and God knew it. Like Paul, once again, he finished the course. He departed. His departure was at hand. He had fought the good fight, and what was laid up for him was a crown of righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses 6 through 8. Paul did everything that he could do in keeping God's word. Are we giving our all? Are we doing everything that we can to do in keeping God's word? You know, the trip that Brother Rob and Brother Allen is on, I went on, that's showing all of us too that we can do some things here. We may not be able to go to that part of the world or anything else, but there are people that are out there that really needs help from us. And if we can do something to encourage someone, maybe it's a Christian that has fallen by the wayside, or maybe there's someone that we can come in contact with who wants to know what they must do in order to be saved. But that's part of giving all back to God, because he's blessed us to understand something about his word. But Caleb knew what God had said, what he wanted, and that was enough. He was about what God wanted. You know, it's easy to go along with the majority, but you can take a stand because it's right, knowing most will oppose you. What about Daniel and his friends who refused to worship the golden image in Daniel chapter 3 in the verses 12? And also in verse 17, God was able to deliver them from that fiery furnace. But see, they knew that the Lord that they served was going to be with them. And no matter what King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to do and all the other people that the king was listening to, they knew that they served, or who they served. And that's where we come in. We know who we serve. We may not be able to get what we want right then, but eventually God will bless us to be able to have those things that he wants us to have. Also, the majority doesn't decide morality. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many will go that way. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and few will find it. Basically, that's what happened with Caleb and Joshua. They took those men that was with Caleb and Joshua. They took that broad way because they wanted to do things their way. I didn't want to do things what God had told them to do. Caleb and Joshua took the narrow way. They stuck with what God wanted them to do. And you get a lot of resistance behind that sometimes. Whenever you know the Bible and you know what God's word is, and you try to help someone in some way, they don't want to see it that way. There's nothing you can do. All you can do is just let them go on. But you stay with what God has told you to do. You know, I'm mindful of when you think that you're alone, remember what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 is saying. It says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do. God gives his children that assurance right there. The men that Caleb and Joshua was with, they didn't realize that. And so therefore, that's why they went the way they did. But then we talk about the focus of Caleb's focus. You know, we can easily be overwhelmed by negative circumstances and influences and miss God's direction in our lives. Even in the midst of opposition, Caleb challenged the people to take possession of the land. Caleb never hesitated in his resolve. He said they should by all means go up to this new land. He strongly believed that nothing should keep them from following the Lord. He was convinced. This kind of courage comes from unwavering focus on our mission. Remember Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verses 49? He said, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus was focusing, or he had focused on what his mission was. What is your mission? What is our mission? What do we do every day when we have an opportunity? What is our mission? Do we forget it? Or do we feel like it never really have existed for us to do anything? Because a lot of times, even Christians, we get to a point where we feel like, well, I'm a Christian now, so I don't have anything else to do. All I need to do is just relax and have a good time and just wait and see what's going to happen. See what's going to happen. Let somebody else do that. You know, but no, that's each one of us individually. Focus is an important element to success and obedience to God's leadership. But it easily for us to be distracted or discouraged by our circumstances. Amidst the noise of the overwhelming circumstances, the crowd of naysayers around us, the voice of God seems to grow dimmer. In other words, what we start thinking is that, well, I know I'm supposed to do this, but it doesn't make any difference. Somebody else will do that. So God's word grows dimmer in each one of us. Satan uses the crowd to bring confusion. And in James chapter 3, in the verse 16, for whereas there's envy, there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. We have no excuse because we know that that's around us every day. And it causes doubt. And so we start making excuses about why I'm not going to do this or why I'm not going to do that. And we let our influence a lot of times drag us in another direction. Caleb demonstrated great focus on the will of God because the promised land was there. Objective. And he knew that and he realized that. He refused to allow the dangers ahead or the fears of the people to cause him to falter in his resolve to follow the Lord. Lord, the Lord takes precedence over everything. We should always demonstrate our focus on the will of God when our hearts are set on obedience. The voices around us should not have any effect on our determination. If we're determined to continue to remain steadfast and unmovable in God's eyesight, we shouldn't let anything distract us from that. And now we'll talk about Caleb's trust. You know, this is something right here that we want to always have trust. We want to trust in the Lord and not in people or things that we know that can distract us. We have all trusted things not worthy of trust. We've trusted in wrong advice, weak boards, undependable cars. When God speaks, however, we can always trust his way to be right. And he speaks to us through his word. But what we have to do is we have to pick it up and we have to read it to see what it's saying and not guess at it. One reason Caleb insisted on moving into the promised land was because it was God who led them there from the beginning. Remember, the spies that went out, and God was the one who led them. They may not have realized it at the time. Something could have happened to any one of them as they were going out to spy out the land. So it was God who led them there from the beginning. So he would know, and then the other spies would also know too. Caleb trusted God and knew without a doubt that God's way was right, was always right. He implored the people to follow the Lord. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Caleb was confident that the Lord was with his people and they should not fear anyone. Where is your faith? Where is our faith? In whom have you placed your trust? Psalms chapter 20 and the verses 7 states, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Our faith in the Lord must be unwavering. Circumstances often turn the people's way between different opinions or actions. I will be indecisive. So we cannot allow anything to determine our steps except the Lord. Faith is essential to our spiritual victory. The writer of Hebrews says that we cannot please God without it. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Faith is defined as a total dependence upon God. Caleb demonstrated that total dependency upon God, and God worked in his life and also in Joshua's life. We'll talk about the persistence of Caleb. Persistence, being firm in a course of action in spite of difficulties or opposition. That's what persistence is. The final ingredients of Caleb's spiritual success was tireless pursuit of God's best for his life. He pleaded with the Israelites not to rebel again against God, even to the point of being stoned. And upon the following the Lord, Caleb would not budge from his position. In the end, God honored Caleb for the faithfulness because he had a different spirit. He followed God completely. While all the Israelites were banned from the promised land, Caleb and Joshua were allowed to enter because of their persistent faith. And there's a story that I want to go to, and it's found over in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And I want to read verses 1 through the thing about verse 8. And this is about someone who was also persistent. This is about the unjust judge. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, is talking really about prayer right here too. But in verse 1 he says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint or lose heart. Saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, vindicate me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow trouble me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth?" This lady, or this woman, kept coming to this judge. And this was someone that didn't have no respect of God or man. But he finally did vindicate her. The persistence of Caleb, again, throughout the scriptures. God challenged his children to be persistent. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "The righteous fall and get back up." And it's kind of like what we tell our children and grandchildren from time to time. When you fall, you get back up. That's what you do. Whenever you fall, you get right back up and you try it again. Paul told the Thessalonians not to grow weary and well-doing. And that's what we have to remember. Sometimes you look and you might say, well, what I'm doing is not any good. It doesn't make any difference. I'm just going to give up. But don't do that. Don't grow weary in well-doing. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. While the Hebrew writer challenges us to run with endurance in Hebrews 12:1, it is the persistence of the ant. And sometimes God uses those little creatures to give lessons to us also too, that God honor. In Proverbs chapter 6, in the verses 6, and the insistence of a friend at night that led to response in Luke chapter 11:5, and also Luke 11:8. "As I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, and because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence and importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he need." Or someone that was begging and needed, came to a man who needed something, and he went to his friend and he gave him what this man needed. And then there's also the story in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 24, about the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. Also too, the persistence of Caleb. God works through persistent people to reveal his power. He reveals his power and his way. God will be honored in us as we continue to fulfill our purpose and his will, regardless of the circumstances. In other words, focus, trust, and perseverance are key qualities for us to emulate if we are going to claim our own land of promise. Whether our struggles come from the voice of critics, the challenge of parenting, or difficulty with our careers, God wants to work in our lives to show his steadfast love, even as Caleb experienced a great blessing from the Lord for his faithfulness. We too can enjoy the Lord's favor by always choosing to serve him. You know, in the Bible, most of us are all familiar with the passage there in Joshua 24:15. He says, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In other words, Joshua's mind was made up about what he was going to do and how he was going to serve the Lord. You know, there is a solution here, and everyone else was looking at the problem, while Caleb was looking at the solution. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Caleb held on to the promise. Will you? 1 John 2:25 says, "And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life." But how do we get that eternal life? You know, I hope that this story of Caleb's life will inspire us to always follow the Lord fully. But how do we get that eternal life? We get that eternal life through hearing the gospel. Acts 15:7, Romans 10:17. Also believing that gospel, also too, that we hear. John 8:24, Hebrews 11:6. And then we must repent of our sins. Acts 17:30, Luke 13:3-5. And then we must confess Jesus as God's Son, Matthew 10:32. And last but not least, be baptized for the remission of our sins in Acts 2:38. And of course, we need to be faithful until death. I will give you a crown of life. But those are the things that we must do in order to have that eternal life. So at this time, as we heard something about the life of a man named Caleb, we too want to put our lives up against what Caleb did and see if we can emulate something from that also too. So if there's anyone that's here this morning who needs to change something in their life, or if there's something that needs to be done, you have that opportunity to come forward as the brothers sing the song of invitation. So if there's anyone who needs to come forward, please do so at this time. Let us stand.